You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Well, it is Fat Pile Friday, and that means there is a mountain of fat to get through today. And I think it's time that maybe we just get rid of all the fat that we've got in the pile today. Maybe we'll just call it, liposuction. And we just get rid of the fat today. And we go through, the way I break up the stories is, we just have the regular stories and crime and health and animal and bug world and sports and, AI and the Royals and space. And then we go to the break room and, we have the entertainment, the magazine rack, and we have headlines, and we have, the coronavirus and the TSA and some politics, and then maybe some ending stories and some extra stories. So maybe we just, the fat is, the belly's hanging over the belt. The belly is hanging over the belt today. So I think it's time that we just get rid of all the fat today and start anew as we begin chewing the fat today. So welcome, and let's do some liposuction today on Chewing the Fat. And I feel like maybe we should just go, I should just read the headlines and see where that takes us. I don't know. I've got a ton of stuff. We've got to get to it. Like, for instance, I see where Twitter, those of you that are still on Twitter, and I am, at JeffyJFR, is going to now start calling out mean tweets before they're even sent. Boy, am I looking forward to that. So they want to combat toxicity on the platform. And so they were developing a feature that makes users reconsider sending messages that its system detects as mean or offensive. Now, they claim that their initial tests show that 34% of the users who received the warning chose to revise their message or not send it at all. I'd like to know the difference between those who chose to revise and those who didn't send it at all, but they don't break it down like that. Because I was not part of this, special test, but I can see where if I went to tweet something and it popped up saying, do you really want to send this? I may go back and look at the tweet and change a word. Does that mean that I revised it? For instance, last night on Twitter, I see where one Twitter account, Breaking 911, tweeted that Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms will not seek re-election, and she has reportedly accepted a position at Walgreens. And so I quote tweeted, makeup or photo counter? Now, some may think that was a low blow or mean or offensive. Had they popped up, this tweet seems mean or offensive. Do you wish to change it or still tweet it? I may have changed it. I may have changed it to, does that mean pharmacy tech or front counter? I may have changed it to stocker or cleaner. It's something like that. But does that means that I... That means that I revised the tweet, but it still is not really nice, is it? I mean, I thought it was funny, but I know that she's going to work for Walgreens. I got it. Stop it. It's just silly. It's just silly. Let the platform be, but we're not going to that. Those days are long gone. Now, if you're, say, a farmer in Michigan and you are mad at your neighbor and you have a dispute with your neighbor over the property line, you build a poop wall. Does Twitter pop up and say, is that mean or offensive? Do you mean to revise your poop wall? Well, no. According to this story, the farmer erected a 250-foot-long wall of manure along their property lines in Lodi Township. It's south of Ann Arbor, southeast of Ann Arbor, southwest of Ann Arbor, somewhere in there. So it's in Michigan. You know the state. You know, I mean, if you're looking at the screen right now, you can see my hand here, and it's right there in the state of Michigan. And so the neighbors are all wound up. Of course, it stinks to high heaven. And they, you know, it's just a pile of crap, you know, a wall of crap. Now, normally the farmers, you know, spread that out over different fields for, you know, fertilizer. And in the summertime, you get that fresh country air smell in Michigan. I was raised in Michigan. And believe me, I'm well aware of the smell of country air. But if it's all piled up along the property line, oh man, I bet you that smells great. Now, the farmer claims that, hey, that structure is not a poop wall. That's a compost fence. That's my compost pile. Okay, no problem. What kind of fight is going to happen with that, right? I mean, isn't that what Senator Rand Paul got into a fight with his neighbor about, and the neighbor attacked him over some property line? Rand was stacking up limbs and stuff on the property line, or at least that was something to do with the story. There's a fight coming. There's a poop fight coming. I don't know if it's going to be in the courts or if it's just going to be, you know, between the two farmers. In the courts, I mean, the Supreme Court just said this guy can sue these jailers. Trent Taylor was put in a jail cell here in the great state of Texas, and it was covered in poop and human feces everywhere in this cell, and he was naked. He said there was feces smeared on the window and the ceiling, and it was packed inside the water faucet, and there were, you know, dry crunching under his feet, just nasty. And he claimed that the, you know, when the officers uncuffed his hands behind him and shut the slot, he's gonna have a long weekend. Yeah, no kidding. So usually the jailers have qualified immunity, which shields the government workers from being personally sued for their actions on the job. Now, he's been in jail before, and he's done other illegal things. But look, he was recently released after serving an 11-year sentence for robbery. And, you know, I get it. He's really wasn't that great of a guy. But did he deserve that? I don't think so. Now, he spent 6 days in two nasty cells. The first cell, he didn't eat or drink for fearing the food and water would be contaminated. And then the second cell had no toilet, and he was told just to relieve himself into a clogged drain on the floor, despite begging to be brought to the bathroom, well, I'm sure. And it had no bed, so he was forced to sleep naked on the floor in the raw sewage. Nasty. Now, I guess they placed him in psychiatric unit cells because he had overdosed on pain medication. So they said that, you know, they were concerned that he might harm himself, and he sued them. And the federal judges said, yeah, those conditions were unconstitutional. And so they kept suing and upheld it. And finally, the Supreme Court said that any reasonable officer should have realized that Taylor's conditions of confinement offended the Constitution, and Taylor could sue after all. Wow. Okay. So we'll see what comes of this case. I don't know if I'm on the jury, do I think that this guy, you know, he's a criminal? Do I think that this guy deserves to be put in a poop cell? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that's, and if they actually knew it, if they, you know, and I'm sure that they did, if the cells were that bad, they absolutely knew it was a problem. And they did it on purpose. And it really, you know, those cells should not be like that. If you had a, I mean, there's a thing called a hose and you actually hose them down. I mean, I think he's got a pretty strong case, because I don't want to be, I mean, if you got arrested, do you want to be put in a poop cell? If you were rescued from an overdose and you were, you know, even if, let's just be clear. You can quote me on this. I don't want to be in a poop cell. Don't poop cell me, bro. That's my new phrase. Don't poop sell me, bro. Speaking of poop cells, a federal grand jury has indicted the four former Minneapolis police officers involved in George Floyd's arrest and death, accusing them of willfully violating the black man's constitutional rights as he was restrained face down on the pavement and grasping for air. The three-count indictment, unsealed Friday, names all four officers, including Derek Chauvin. If he, you know, he's trying to do his appeal for the last trial, and this is, you know, a new indictment. He's specifically charged, Derek Chauvin, is with violating Floyd's right to be free from unreasonable seizure and unreasonable force by a police officer. The other officers are, you know, also charged. Derek Chauvin also charged in a second indictment stemming from the arrest and neck restraint of a 14-year-old boy back in 2017. He is never getting out of jail. It's not going to happen. And I know that conviction on these federal civil rights charges is punishable by up to life in prison or even the death penalty. And they say that these stiff sentences are extremely rare. Uh-huh. We'll see. I know that they're thinking about, you know, they could be, you know, get lighter sentences of that. It won't matter. These charges are going to continue to pile up because these guys will be in jail. They're guilty. It's not going to matter if some of these other cases get thrown out. It just isn't going to matter. And I love this story by the Associated Press. They tried to contact the attorneys of all the police officers, and Nelson, the attorney for Chauvin, had no comment on the federal charges. Messages were left with attorneys for two of the other officers were not immediately returned, and an attorney for the fourth officer was getting on an elevator and disconnected when reached by the Associated Press. So once you get on an elevator and disconnect, I mean, there's no such thing as, I don't know, calling them back. But that just made me laugh. All right, let's get through some of these headlines. We got liposuction. We got to get rid of some of this fat. The fat is still hanging over the belt. Let's go. Let's get moving. So I'm just going to read you the headlines now, and we'll see where we're at the end of this. Florida man used a prosthetic leg to smuggle drugs into jail. I mean, we talked about the lady that's, you know, stuffed the gun up her hoo-ha. And, you know, of course you're going to smuggle drugs in your prosthetic leg. What else would you use it for? They found a cult leader mummified in a Colorado home. Apparently she died and they moved her into this house. And now they've arrested all these people. And they've taken the kids from the cult people. The cult people, what was the cult people's name? Oh yeah, Mother of God was found mummified. Very disappointing. So I guess one of her followers walked into the police station in Colorado and said, hey, I got a corpse inside my house and maybe you ought to come and take care of it. So they showed up and the body was decomposing and mummified, was wrapped in a sleeping bag and Christmas lights with glitter and makeup encircling the corpse's seemingly empty eye sockets. He said he noticed authorities identifying himself as a follower of Love Has Won, which claims to be a spiritual organization, but is more often described as a cult. And the body belonged to Love Has Won's leader, a woman named Amy Carlson, but the group knew her as Mother God. And so everybody got arrested that was there. They took the kids. They didn't arrest the guy that came to the police station, but he had a kid that was there and they took the kid. So that's, you know, just a quick story out of Colorado. Instagram influencer allegedly scammed followers out of 1.4 million. And I guess people are pissed and she's taunting them with pictures on her vacation. I'm not sure if you ask people to send you money and they send you money, is that scamming people out of their money? So an Indonesian influencer under investigation for scamming followers out of $1.4 million. And a community savings scheme. And then she took the money. Good luck proving that. I mean, they're just pissed that she took the money and went on vacation. And I guess if I gave her money, I'd be angry too. But, you know, good for her. We had a Buddhist monk chop his head off. And that was, you know, apparently with his guillotine, he was looking for good luck in the afterlife. That's great. There was a guy that did the Warren Buffett diet for a week. That's an interesting story. We might have to get back to that because this guy went through the diet of Warren Buffett, kinda. I mean, he tried to eat everything and eat the way Warren eats for a week, and he said it was not good. But everyone is different. Remember that. You know, to each his own. Okay, Business Insider author. We have a dog owner that found out his English bulldog only speaks Spanish. Okay. A Texas man mowing his lawn was killed after he was attacked by an aggressive swarm of bees. A lot of people get attacked by swarms of bees when they're mowing their lawn out there. That's why you have yard crews. You don't need to mow your own lawn. Then we had a Colorado woman died of a bear attack. That's not funny. It's not. Stop laughing. Okay. It's not funny that this 39-year-old Colorado woman died in an apparent black bear attack, marking just the fourth fatal mauling in the state since record keeping began back in 1960. Okay? Now, they went out and searched for the bears, and they found them. They found the mama bear with two little babies, and they went ahead and euthanized them. And on inspection, they found human remains inside the stomachs of the female bear and one of the young bears. So I'm guessing it's not really an apparent death by bear eating. And they're saying we can't determine with exact certainty why this attack took place, but we'll perform an autopsy on the woman next week to determine the official cause of death. Yeah, I'm guessing she got between the mom and the little baby bears. And the mom was having none of it. And so she took off and, you know, killed the woman. And then while you, as long as you've already mauled her, you might as well eat, right? You're already there. Well, that was a mistake on the bear's part. I mean, think about this now for a second. So if the lady actually just died and the bears stumbled across her and they thought, hey, well, you know, she's already dead, I might as well eat, and they ate her, they euthanized the bears for just eating. Now, I get the whole thing. We didn't want to get the bears, you know, their taste for humans. But they didn't really kill her. So I guess we do have to wait, see what the actual cause of death was. Was it something else and the bears just ate her? Or was it the bears killing the lady and eating her? Either way, these bears are no longer going to be eating any other humans because they're gone. Have a nice day. Speaking of being gone, you see where the two teachers in Florida, they're two amateur paleontologists, make a huge discovery. They're swimming in the Peace River around Arcadia, and they come across a mammoth bone. It's a femur bone that belongs to the Columbian mammoth. Wow. It's about 4 feet long, 50 pounds, estimated to be about 100,000 years old. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Now, they said that they found a prehistoric shark tooth that dated back before great white sharks were known to exist, and a saber's tooth. So that's kind of cool, right? And the one teacher actually used, he teaches at science at a place called Admiral Farragut Academy. That's in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I'm very familiar with the Admiral Farragut Academy. My son actually went there for a while, and it's a, you know, it's a naval academy. And really, really, really good school. And it was okay. You know, he went there for a few years. How long did I don't even remember how long he went there, but it's just a coincidence that the guy taught at Admiral Farragut. So it's my connection to the story and Florida. So back off me, all right? And another Michigan story. Should have brought this up in the poop story. Biologists, they were out fishing, and they reeled in a 240-pound fish from the Detroit River. That's a big old fish, man. A big old fish. So they wheeled it in, and it's a big old lake sturgeon. And, you know, they have them in the Detroit River. And it was, they figure that it's about 100 years old. That's pretty good. That fish has been around a long, long time. Now, I guess the sturgeons are usually 40 to 60 pound fish. They're pretty big fish. But this one was a 240 pound lake sturgeon, 6 foot, 10 inch female, about 100 years old. So they reeled it in and they decided to set it back free again. So maybe somebody fishing on the side of the shore will catch this fish one more time, but she's stayed free for 100 years now. So she's probably good for another 100. But that's a big old fish, man. You're doing some eating. You're feeding the family. You catch that bad boy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No doubt about that. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately on Fat Pile Friday. So if you're listening live to this podcast today, 5-7-2021, you know that this weekend could be a deadly weekend. We don't know. We don't know. We heard from the defense Secretary of the United States of America, Lloyd Austin, who said, yeah, you know, I know that Chinese rocket ship is, you know, coming back to Earth, and it's probably going to come down this weekend, but yeah, we're hopeful that it doesn't hit anybody that we care about. What? Are you kidding me?
The latest estimates that I've seen is somewhere between the 8th and 9th, you know, and okay. The experts are still working on that.
So we don't know
at
for
this
sure.
point, we don't have a plan to shoot the rocket down. We're hopeful that it will land and in a place where it won't harm anyone, hopefully in the ocean or someplace like that. I think this speaks to the fact that for those of us who operate in the space domain, that there is a requirement, there should be a requirement to operate in a safe and thoughtful mode and make sure that we take those kinds of things into consideration.
Yeah, well, they did actually. You know, I'm not saying that they, you know, knew what they were doing, but they did actually. And that was the point of the story, is that they, you know, it screwed up and it was supposed to disengage and it didn't. But, you know, I digress. So they don't have a plan. And they're hopeful that it lands in the ocean or someplace like that, and that it doesn't, you know, harm anybody that we really care about. You know, if it harms somebody that we don't care about, sure, we'll help. Don't worry about it. We'll send some help over there wherever it lands. But holy cow, it could be anywhere. Yeah, we don't know where it's going to come down. We don't know. We don't have any plans to shoot it down. And I know you think, well, they're going to shoot it down and create, you know, more pieces to fall to Earth. Well, the plan would be, and this is just me talking off the top of my head, but the plan would be that you would shoot it down before it reaches the atmosphere, right? You would blow it apart so that the smaller pieces would actually burn up as it comes through the atmosphere. That's what they're saying, is that what, you know, it's obviously going to be a smaller piece of debris than it was, not going to be the building size, or at least we hope it isn't, once it gets through the atmosphere, but it's still going to be a big chunk, and it's going to be crashing down on the planet. So we're hopeful. We're hopeful that it's going to not hit anywhere that we care about, or, you know, we hope and it lands in the ocean or someplace like that. Me too. Keep your head up, man. Eyes to the sky this weekend. And as long as we're looking up, we might as well stick in the fat pile for the space section. We know that the Pentagon is set to begin the most expansive look yet at the military's response to unidentified aerial phenomena in an Inspector General's investigation that was announced this week. We had SpaceX Starship prototype, the rocket SN-15, successfully landed. It didn't blow up. Gotta love that. It was not destroyed after the high-altitude test flight. Gotta love that. We had a California representative, John Garamendi, who said during a congressional hearing on space policy, "I suspect the norm is he who is strongest will win at the end of the process, and we'll all be dead." Thank you, Representative. We appreciate your time. And if you're looking to the skies, it might be brighter than normal. The astronomers are very frustrated with Elon Musk's satellites. Apparently, the satellites are too bright. So, how about you tone those bad boys down a little bit, okay? I guess the 240 small satellites in space as part of the Starlink internet service, is a little bit too bright. And the people are pissed. They're only going to launch, 12,000 satellites, something like that. You know, maybe more. Maybe 20, 30, 40,000. Who knows? Let's just get that sky full of stuff, okay? But people are a little mad. International Astronomical Union presented a brief version of a report on the impact of these satellites to a United Nations subcommittee on the peaceful uses of outer space. Oh, okay. And they want to mitigate the loss of unobstructed night sky. So we're going to be worried about space wars, and we can't have too many satellites up there because it's going to be too bright. It's going to have to put my shades on at night now when I look up at the sky, and there's just no way to look up at the sky. We need dark skies. We need that to happen. Speaking of Elon, though, we got Saturday Night Live this weekend with Elon, and I guess, still on. He's been there. He's been working. They've been going through rehearsals. I haven't heard any news of people storming off the SNL set, so I think I'm right. I think it was just a show, just a way to promote the show, and if that's true, then good for them, because Elon's on your side, you dummies. The only reason you don't like him is because he's rich. But I'm guessing, and this is just a thought, and maybe, you could prove me wrong, but I'm guessing that the people on Saturday Night Live are getting paid to do their job. Huh. So they're not doing it for free. Elon's not doing what he does for free either. Okay? So get over it. Quick reminder, for those of you that are listening to this podcast right now and you're not a subscriber, you're sneaking a listen in on your friend's device, become a subscriber. Choose whatever platform warms the little insides of your heart. A lot of people call those cockles. And you can choose whatever platform. You can choose the one you're listening to on now, or you can choose, one that you prefer. There's iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever one warms the little cockles of your heart. And then become a subscriber to Chewing the Fat. You might as well follow me on Twitter, too, at JeffyJFR. Facebook, Instagram, Parler. Is Parler down now? Facebook and Instagram, Jeff Fisher Radio. Parler, are they down now? I've got to check that out. Yeah, every time I try to use it, I can't use it anymore. And I go to their website, and it says Parler will be back online soon. And it talks about a few hours, and then it hasn't been back. So what's going on? What is happening? So there's no more Parler, I guess. Parler is over with. Okay, whatever. That's fine. Hey, just subscribe. Anyway, if you can ever get on to Parler, Jeff Fisher Radio is available there as well. And then, at my YouTube channel, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher on YouTube as well. So subscribe to all of those particular links. Chewing the Fat podcast, Chewing the Fat YouTube channel, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler if it ever becomes available again, and then your life will be that much better. That's a guarantee. So yesterday was the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather press conference for their fight. And it was at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. And of course, you know, they're both there and it's a big show. And it was interesting. So we ended up watching, my son and I watched the press conference. He brought up the Jake Paul's feed on Instagram. And I was watching the Floyd Mayweather feed on Instagram for the press conference. So it was interesting to see both different angles and hear, you know, Floyd's press lady and Jake Paul running his yap during the press conference, and Logan and Floyd were going back and forth. And boy, I tell you, there's a big size difference, no question, between Logan and Floyd. But Floyd, I mean, I'm rooting for Floyd. I want him to win the fight. But if Logan beats Floyd Mayweather, man, it's not going to be the end of the Pauls until the end of time, man. Wow. So Floyd had a couple of great lines during the press conference. He set up on stage when he was, you know, yapping back and forth to Logan that he would take both of them on, Jake and Logan. Logan and Jake, he'd fight you both the same night. I'll fight you both on the same night, puss and see. That's a good line. That's a good line from Floyd. And in one of his, when he was walking the press line after the main stage press conference, he said, "Hey, the world is my turf." Oh, okay. Thanks, Floyd. Appreciate it. And Logan kept saying, "I'm going to F this dude up." And so we'll see. Now, Jake kept pushing it. And Jake, you know, kept saying about his shoes being dirty. And then even Floyd's press lady was like, "It's like, those are brand new shoes. Wear them once and done." And so that, I mean, that was a little knife in the heart. It got to him. And they talked about, you know, Floyd talked about the Japanese scandal with the brothers, and the Logan talked about the spousal abuse. So it got a little personal. So Floyd is walking the press line, and Jake comes up with and they're filming, and Jake comes up and he's yapping, and he gets into Floyd's face, and he takes his hat and he goes, "Got your hat," and he runs off. Now I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. If you're Floyd Mayweather and you just got done saying that this is a show and we're excited to be here, and they think it's a fight, but I, you know, this is a show, it's entertainment, we're here. If that dingleberry takes my hat, don't I just say, why are you running away? Why, if you wanted one of my hats, you just had to ask. Or you could go to my website. I got them for sale at Mayweather.com. I mean, he could have just, you know, and handled it that way. Instead, he chases after him, and they get into a scuffle. I know it's a show. I know it's a boxing. I get it. Believe me. I just feel like Floyd, with the persona that he brought to that press conference, he handled that part of it with the hat way off base. But I guess they needed some kind of scuffle to create a little bit of news. Well, now Jake has been banned from Hard Rock Stadium for the fight. So just more action for the show and the fight. But I thought maybe Floyd could have handled that a little bit better. Had I been representing him, I would have told him, if something like that happens, handle it better. But, you know, now it's a big scuffle, it's a big thing, and, you know, it makes it good. I want Floyd Mayweather. Now, he said that it would probably take longer than a couple of minutes. I said, you know, he hoped that it would take longer because he talked about one of his fights that only took a couple of minutes. He said, hopefully this one will take a little bit longer. And so, you know, maybe he was talking about Jake's fight when they talked about, but he talked about it being long, you know, take a little bit longer because Logan's a big boy and he's younger. You know, he's got 20 years. Floyd's got 20 years on him, man, and 20 years of work. Now that's what makes Floyd the champ, right? I mean, he's undefeated and he is the champ. And so it'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to it. June 6th at Hard Rock. And the show around it, they can have all the show they want around it. But, I mean, the fight itself is going to be fun to watch. Now, they talked about having, you know, maybe 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people there. I would say, man, if I'm Floyd, Floyd was telling people, come to Miami, let's go. Man, if I'm Floyd Mayweather, if you get, you know, I'm not talking about the streaming, because I'm obviously not going to be watching it in Miami. I will be in my home here in Fort Worth, Texas, watching it over the internet. But I would say that if that stadium gets to 30, 40,000 people, Floyd should just buy another 10,000 tickets and just walk down the streets of Miami and give them away just to get at least 50,000 in that stadium, right? Make that thing loud for Floyd, man. Because, you know, the earth is his turf. And since Jake just got banned from Hard Rock, Floyd's off the hook for having to fight both of them that same night. So all he has to do is fight Puss and not C. So I'd like to thank the executive producer of Jeopardy for listening to Chewing the Fat, because I told you earlier this week that they needed to make a decision on Jeopardy. The guest host thing is, we're done with it. And they need to make a decision. Well, he has revealed that the show will have chosen its next official host by the start of season 38. Season 38, which begins filming in late July or early August of this year. So they're done with it as well. Thank you. It's about time. I appreciate you listening to Chewing the Fat. He gave a song and dance on why it's, you know, taken so long. He said that it, you know, the fans, the country, the staff, you know, if it was on a Friday and Alex's last show and then Monday it's a new person, that would probably be unfair to the person stepping into it. Well, yeah, it would. I mean, you never want to be the guy following the guy. You always want to be the guy following the guy that followed the guy. That's a good rule of thumb. You never want to be the guy following the guy. You always want to be the guy following the guy who followed the guy. Because the guy who followed the guy is never going to make it. They are never as good as the guy. Anyway, and we talked about that with Rush too. But so they decided that they were going to go through this whole litany of guest hosts. I think they just waited too long, really. They should have. They got into this guest host thing and everybody wanted to do it and everybody thinks they can do it. So then they were into a trap, right? And he seemed to think that, you know, their search for a new permanent host with bringing on all these guest hosts that, you know, we wanted to see how the fans respond to different candidates. Well, yeah, duh. And you want to make an informed decision. Well, yeah, with, you know, real analytics and real testing. Well, that's true. But you don't want to get too far into the woods or into the weeds, because you want to get the show going and you want to keep people interested in the show besides watching, oh, not another guest host. And I don't like him and I don't like her. And I wish they would ask better the way I don't like the way they speak, whatever. So, you know, we still got a bunch of them. We went over them the other day. You know, we have Bill Whitaker right now and Buzzy Cohen and the chick from Big Bang Theory, Mayim Bellick, and Savannah Guthrie and Dr. Gupta and Stephanopoulos and Robin Roberts and LeVar Burton, David Faber, Joe Buck. Enough already. So it is enough. And Joe Buck is scheduled August 9th, August 13th. So I guess maybe they'll start filming right after that, mid-August. Or will they start filming in July where you've got Robin? So that doesn't bode well for Robin Roberts, LeVar Burton. They're both scheduled for July. David Faber and Joe Buck are scheduled for August, the first half of August. So if they start filming the new shows while they're still doing these shows with the fill-in hosts, that means that these fill-in hosts, I don't have a shot. Have a nice day. Right? So if they've already made their decision and they haven't announced it, then these people have a nice day. Take a hike. So I think it's probably going to be the executive producer himself, Mike Jeopardy, or Mike Richards for Jeopardy. And, you know, he's probably saying, we can't, you know, you can't announce yourself, but you're it. Because he was great and everybody liked him. So he's just saying, yeah, you know, we're going to decide. And we'll let you know. We've already decided. And we'll have a new host for next season. Oh, by the way, it's going to be me. He's not going to say that, right? He's going to love it. But that's pretty much what he said. You read between the lines of this interview, that's what he said. So anyway, Mike, thanks for listening and finally getting out there and letting us know that the new host of Jeopardy will be at the helm for the start of the next season, and that while we read between the lines, that it's going to be you. So appreciate it. So, divorce. What causes a divorce? Bill and Melinda Gates obviously announced on Monday that they would divorce. And there's all kinds of talk about what's going on behind the scenes. And they didn't have a prenuptial agreement. They were married for 27 years. Now, stories are starting to come out that Melinda was all wound up, that they had a meeting with Jeffrey Epstein in 2013. And according to this story, she was, you know, uncomfortable meeting with Epstein. Very possible. Very, very possible with that. There's stories about how the secret land holdings by Bill Gates could, you know, now come to the forefront. Why? I mean, it's not secret. They've got 270,000 acres of land. It's no secret. They've got land in Washington, Idaho, Wyoming, Nebraska, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Mississippi, Florida, North Carolina. Got no land in Texas, though. Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, no land there. And no land in Wyoming. There's got land in Wyoming. What's up top here? The Dakotas and Montana. No property there. No property in Utah. Anyway, you get the idea. So it's not a big secret. I mean, hello. With no prenup, all of it's on the table. And there's one guy, this Michael Larson, who, he's the guy. He's the guy that knows it all. Michael Larson. He looked after the Gates' personal portfolio, the portfolio for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and he's done so for about 25 years. So this guy knows it all. He knows where the money is. So, okay. It's coming down to the wire now, man. I know that it was just reported that Melinda had rented a private island, and they made a big deal. $132,000 a night. Well, yeah, no kidding. You're renting an island. Hello. That's not like staying at the Motel 6 for $60 a night. But she rented this island prior to the divorce announcement. Everyone in the family was invited to spend time. And the island was in Grenada, my old stomping grounds. Not really, but it's an old joke. So they were all told about the announcement, according to this, and they wanted everybody to know about it, and it was going to come, you know, the press was going to be all over the place. So the couple first announced their divorce to the world Monday in a joint statement to their respective social media accounts. Wow, man. Now they're talking about Melinda getting more than what Bezos' wife got. Bezos' wife got $35 billion. So, I mean, Melinda's going to get more than that, right? I mean, I would say that if she still loves him, and that's questionable in and of itself, but if she still has feelings for him, she probably doesn't love him anymore. She probably hasn't loved him for a bunch of years. But, you know, they're just, you know, being with each other. But I'm saying that she gets, you know, she walks away with, you know, I don't know. My original thought was that you keep Bill at the 100 billion mark, so he still is a 100 billionaire. But if she doesn't really care, then she wants, you know, at least 50 to 60 billion. Puts her above Mackenzie. Gives a little slap in the face to the Bezoses a little bit. And, you know, she's satisfied. We'll see. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be tough to keep any of this private. So, what I mean, things that cause a divorce. If you look at some of what the therapists all say, that it comes down to, you know, this therapist has the three I's. So, you've got incompatibility. infidelity and irreconcilable differences. Okay, those are the three I's that cause a divorce, according to Tess Brigham. So, you know, the three I's can affect a couple over their marriage, according to Tess Brigham. You know, you have people like Kristen Bell. She says that husband Dax Shepard, well, we of course acknowledge attraction for other people. We're not dead. Oh, okay. I mean, I guess that's true with everyone. She claims that when they're watching TV, he can tell me someone he finds attractive because he pauses. Like, she uses the Olympics as an example. You know, if we're watching the Olympics and he'll just pause it on a lot of runners and that he finds attractive, female or male. And, you know, I'm not, I'm fine. He's not going to leave me for that person. I'm not allowing my self-esteem to be affected. I know that there are people on planet Earth that are more attractive than me. And while we're not dead, I have to acknowledge we're monkeys. Are ya? Are ya, Kristen? Okay. All right, Kristen, whatever. If you say so. But I don't know that, you know, maybe someday Kristen and Dax will get to that incompatibility, infidelity, and irreconcilable differences, the three I's. Or maybe, maybe, just maybe, I see this headline out of the New York Times, and I don't subscribe to the New York Times, so it won't let me open the story. But I will tell you that the headline, since it is Fat Pile Friday, and we're liposuctioning today, the talks about health. The headline, if you click on the URL, it says health shower bathing pandemic. Now, I do know what the story was about. The story was about a percentage of people who had stopped bathing, showering every day since the pandemic. And now that they're going back to work, they're going to stick with that schedule. They don't feel like they need to take a shower every day. Oh, okay. Let me tell you this. That may hold true for about the first week. And the first time you go into the office and Millie says, dude, back off me. I don't know what you're doing, but the axe ain't working, bro. You're going to be taking a shower every day. Okay. I can't imagine. I mean, I can imagine not showering every day. Absolutely. And, you know, and it's not just the pandemic. You know, you go through times where you're off a week and you don't take a shower every day and you don't shave every day because you're like, okay, that's enough. But to not do it, I got to take a shower and you have to bathe. I'm sorry. You have to bathe. That's a must. I know that a lot of you women out there don't wash your hair every day. You don't even take showers every day. Don't look at me like that. Like I'm not supposed to know that. I know that. Okay. I know it's you. I've seen you before. I get it. Don't look at me like that. But if you're going to go out into the public and be a part of human society, showering, bathing, cleanliness is a must. Okay? That is a chewing the fat, take it to the bank. Okay? If you're going to go out among humans and be a part of social life as a human, you must bathe. I know you're thinking every day? Yes, every day. Now, if you miss a day, on a day that you didn't go out and, you know, mingle with other humans, and you stayed inside your particular human dwelling, fine. No problem. But if you're going to go out and be a part of other humans' lives, you must bathe. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry to disappoint you. That's just the way it is. Even when you get older, you know, you gotta bathe. You gotta do it. I see where, hey, oh, happy birthday to David Attenborough, Mr. David, Mr. Climate Change for the BBC production team. He turns 95 this weekend. Happy birthday. Now, David is alone. He lost his wife a few years ago. And I was just reading a story about David. And he talked about that he does get lonely on his own. I mean, I would rather be around people. The thing is, when you go around the house, you know that no matter how many doors you open, there's not going to be anybody there. Yeah, I know, Dave, but you still got to take a shower. It doesn't say in the story whether Dave takes a shower every day, but if you're 95 and you're living alone, my guess is the answer to that would be no. So maybe somebody needs to stop by David's house and, you know, bring him a climate change birthday cake with candles that don't burn or whatever, twigs for candles or whatever you do for the climate change birthday parties, and wish him a happy birthday and then say, Dave, happy birthday, bro. Take a shower. We'll wait. We'll have cake and ice cream once you get out of the shower because, dude, we got to air this place out. I'm guessing that's probably what's going to happen. It should happen. If it doesn't, I'll tell you that. Dude, take a shower because we got to air this place out.